Just looking at the data reports and commentary from the Federal Reserve over the last week, starting with the data, we've got signs that the U.S. economy is slowing, and of course, behind this too, we've got some exceptional circumstances, all the to-ing and fro-ing around the debt ceiling in the United States, where that appeared to be getting to a point where there was some discussion about the Republican-led Congress saying that in return for some spending cuts, they're prepared to see the debt ceiling extended. That seemed to slow. They wanted to put all that discussion on pause towards the end of last week. So we're back into that position where it's just hanging there as a potential threat. But besides that, we've got this softness running through some of the economic readings now. For example, in the leading economic indicators, we had the May Empire State Survey came out. That was above zero going back to the month of April. It bounced to plus 10.8, but it slipped right the way down to minus 31.8 for the most recent reading. That's actually very soft. On the other side of the ledger, though, the Philadelphia Fed survey, which was very weak going back to April at minus 31.3, wasn't quite so weak for the month of May. It was at minus 10.4. We had some other indicators which were a little bit more mixed. So on the home building side, we had April home building permits, which were down again by 1.5% after being down 3% the month before. But housing starts actually lifted slightly. They were expected to be flat. They lifted by 2.2% for the most recent month. Also, we had reasonably strong industrial production in April, up 0.5% in the US. And April retail sales and core retail sales, while not quite up to expectations, were certainly not unduly weak. They were both up 0.4% each month on month. At the very end of the week, we had Fed Chairman Powell speaking, and what he's indicating is that as they get towards their June meeting, in the middle of June is when the Fed meets again, it's becoming much more line ball what they do. They're watching some of the data. They recognize that they've lifted interest rates a long way. Whilst they still have as their goal to get inflation back to 2%, they recognise that they're watching data. So there's the first hint in this that maybe we're coming up for a pause from the Federal Reserve. So it's partly driven too by other things they'd be worried about. The debt ceiling problem is one of them, but also of course the issues running through the regional banks and the way in which that's actually working to tighten credit as well. All of that is somewhat problematic. So probably more likely than not, the Fed's working its way towards a pause. It's got the funds rate up to 5.25%. That was about where they're anticipating going back a few months ago and taking a bit of a break at that level. The labour market data in the US still pretty strong, so that's still holding up pretty well. So if anything, that militates towards more hikes down the track, but perhaps a pause at the next meeting. This week in the US, we have the minutes of the last meeting coming out on Wednesday, so that's probably likely to have some hint of what Powell was talking about on Friday as well. We've got new home sales, pending home sales. New home sales are actually strong going back to March, expect to fall in the month of April. They're out on Tuesday night. Pending home sales coming out on Thursday, so they're expected to lift about 0.5% after being down 5.2% the month before. And probably the key reading of the week is the alternative reading for inflation, and so that's the core personal consumption expenditure deflator. That comes out on Friday, and it's still running too high, at 4.6% year on year. That needs to come down well and truly through the threes. Well, it's good in the fours, and so that's expected still to be up there at 4.6%. So it's one of those key readings right towards the end of the week. But much of this week is obviously going to be a focus on sort of discussions around the debt ceiling. When it looked as if it was going to be resolved, and it looks as if the Fed's near a peak, obviously that starts to build some optimism back to risk assets. And it gets challenged a bit if we see high inflation, or if we start to see the debt negotiations getting into difficulty. But on balance, it looks as if things are still reasonably good for this week as far as risk assets are concerned. Moving to China, and last week we had the range of their data came out for April, and most of it reasonably firm, not quite up to market expectations. And it's interesting, we had fixed asset investment spending, which is, local Communist Party projects being driven largely out of Beijing. They have been running up reasonably well, but not as strongly as in previous cycles. There's not a lot of government spending running into getting the Chinese economy going. So the annual growth in this one actually came back to 4.7% year-on-year from 5.1%. But set against that, industrial production lifted, not quite as much as expected, but it lifted to 5.6% year-on-year from 3.9% going back to the month of March. Retail sales also had their very big holiday bounce, and so retail sales, they were at plus 10.6% year-on-year going back to March. This time around, up to 18.4%, so a very, very strong lift in that. That'll settle back over the next few months. But at this stage, China's the one economy which is accelerating. It's not accelerating quite the way it has in the past. There's a different configuration to its growth. It's less government spending projects driven and industrial production driven, much more retail sales this time around. So it's quite different, the configuration of growth. It has some implications for Australia and what it might mean for commodity prices too. This week, we have the People's Bank of China. They may lower rates. Certainly the inflation rate is low enough for them to do it. It was at 3.85%, but interest rates are less key in China than they are elsewhere around the world. And moving to Australia, we had some interesting data last week, and it sort of pulled in two directions in terms of what the Reserve Bank might be looking at. Before the important ones, we had the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey, and the Consumer Sentiment Survey fell quite sharply, 7.9%, after being up 9.4% the month before. It's down at quite low levels. That does suggest that retail spending is going to be relatively soft marching ahead. That's one thing the Reserve Bank wants to see. We had then the first quarter wage price index came out, and it was up 0.8% quarter on quarter, and that elevated the annual rate of change in the wage price index to 3.7% from 3.4%. Now, that's knocking on the high side of what the Reserve Bank wants to see, particularly as we run into capturing some of the deals which are going to be running through very shortly. Public sector wage deal in Canberra, which is looking at 10.5% pay increase over 3 years, with four in the first year. We've got a similar sort of deal probably in the offing for much of the public sector here in New South Wales. We had the Bunnings deal, which was announced over the weekend, which was 4.5% wage increase in the first year on a lower week with extra holiday. So when you're looking at on an hourly rate, it's actually quite a bit above 4.5% in the first year, with further increases for the years beyond. And, of course, we've got the minimum wage case coming, where the argument is for a 7% increase. So, the 3.4 going to 3.7% for the wage price index, that's going to fly through 4% at some point later this year. So that's against what the Reserve Bank wants to see, particularly with productivity so low. That one still militates towards the Reserve Bank lifting rates further. But against that, we had the labour force data came out on Thursday. And sure, it's only 1 month, but it was softer. The market was looking for a 25,000 increase in employment. It actually fell by 4,300. Now, true, that's after 2 months where we had, the previous month was actually revised up to a 61,100 increase. So this might be a bit of a give back on a very strong month. But it was enough, you know, for the unemployment rate to lift a couple of notches from 3.5% to 3.7%. So, you know, you've got the labour force data, retail sales data, saying, you know, that the Reserve Bank can probably pause when they meet in June. You've got the wage data, which says they can't. And the other part that's corroborating the wage price data is, you know, housing, which is doing something it shouldn't be at this stage. It's actually strengthening. You can see it in terms of the auction clearance rates now, in terms of price changes in Sydney and Melbourne, where, you know, they're starting to rise. And in suburbs, you wouldn't expect. You could understand it if it was all in the top end of the market. But these are in middle income areas. So, you know, clearly people are quite prepared to take their chances at getting into housing. And that militates against them getting into a mindset where inflation can get back to 2 to 3%. So, you know, this is where it's really line ball now for the next Reserve Bank board meeting, what they do. It could be a pause, but it could be another hike. Very, very hard to call on sort of the way this data's run. Really waiting for some more data. And this week we don't get a lot of help because the only piece of information we get really this week is the April retail sales data. I'd say that may not help. It may, you know, sort of April retail sales. It looks at this stage as if they'd be up 0.2% after being up 0.4% after inflation. Of course, that's down. If that's where that comes in, that might help to persuade the Reserve Bank that it can afford to pause in June. So wait for that one on Friday. Across the Tasman, its cousin, the RBNZ, doesn't look like they'd be pausing. They're always relatively more aggressive fighting inflation. Yeah, they meet later this week, and it looks like they'll be putting up their cash rate another 25 basis points, and that would take their cash rate to 5.5%. Yeah, this is the other part of the conundrum as far as the RBA is concerned. We're sitting with, by far and away now, the lowest of the cash rates amongst most of the other groups who are trying to fight inflation at this point. And our inflation rate has migrated from being under those of the other countries to being over those of the other countries over the last couple of quarters. So it's become very, very complicated. Moving to Europe, and Europe last week, we had March industrial production, which was very weak. It was off by 4.1% after being up 1.5% the month before. We had revised Q1 GDP, 0.1%, hasn't been revised. Right. And that leaves it at 1.3% year on year. We had the trade balance, and the trade balance in Europe. Again, this is one of the conundrums we've got in the global economy. The global economy is supposed to be softening. And if you look at freight rates, you know, they've been coming down. But we're getting some really strong trade data out of many countries. And Europe was no exception for the most recent month. Their trade surplus went from 3.7 billion euro to 25.6 billion euro. Very strong exports. And we've had that same sort of configuration in countries ranging from Singapore through to here in Australia and through to Europe. Trade and China. So, you know, trade is running really strongly for a global economy that's supposed to be softening. And another one of those conundrums that we're trying to deal with at the moment of working out exactly how things are progressing. Now, moving into Europe this week, all we get is some Purchasing Managers Index data. This will be the old one. Goods sector is coming off, but services are going up. And so we get the May manufacturing PMI. It was at 45.8. Yes, below the 50 expansion contraction marker. It's probably might lift a bit, 46.2, but it's still, you know, in contraction territory. Services PMI, though, completely opposite. It was very strong going back to April at 56.2. Back to 55.6, but that's still a very, very strong reading. This is the story around the world. We've still got services running. Goods are coming back. Goods prices are taking a bit of pressure out of inflation rates, services are putting it into inflation rates, and central banks everywhere are now in this very difficult position of deciding whether they can afford to pause, whether they should continue to hike rates. And yeah, that's exactly the sort of knife edge that the Reserve Bank's on for its June meeting when it comes up, because there's data which suggests that it should continue hiking rates, but there's also some data out there now which suggests that maybe it can afford to pause. And so that's where it's become now very, very tricky to call exactly what the central banks will do next.